I've been in the military for 20 years at this point, and like I've done a lot of cool stuff, but doing the running training camp, doing the SISM event, and having the team that we had, it was probably the best experience I've had in my 20 years in the military.
That was Danny Morin, and this is episode 163 of the Inspired Souls podcast. Hi, I'm Carolyn, and I'm a roadrunner.
And I'm Kim, and I'm a trail runner. Welcome to our podcast, where we bring the communities of trail and road running together and explore the parallels between running and life.
Danny Morin is a 38-year-old clearance diver with the Canadian Navy who was born in Quebec and now lives in Toronto. Accustomed to striving for high levels of fitness as part of his military training, he became curious back in 2016 to see if he could meet the standard for the Canadian Armed Forces National 5K running competition in Ottawa. He debuted with an 18:20 5K at Around the Bay and since then has gone all in on his running goals. November of this year even marks his one-year anniversary of giving up alcohol in order to squeeze every last second out of his running performance. Danny now holds personal bests of 15:45 in the 5K, 33:14 in the 10K, 1:12:24 in the half marathon, and 2:45 in the marathon. On October 29th, 2023, Danny was one of four male and four female athletes who represented the Canadian military on the SISM International Team at the first World Military Half Marathon Championships in Lucerne, Switzerland. They competed against 39 militaries from around the world and towed the start line with Olympic-level athletes. In this conversation, we learn all about these military events, which aim to promote friendship through sport, including Danny's 1:12:50 half marathon performance at the Swiss City Half Marathon. Be sure to listen to the very end to hear an exciting goal that Danny has his sights set on over the next several years. So without further delay, please enjoy our conversation with Danny Morin. Okay, Danny, welcome to the show. It's so exciting to have you here with us. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Well, we have, here's a little background for everybody. You and I have never met, but you're a friend and colleague of my husband's, and you both recently represented the Canadian military at the first World Military Half Marathon Championships in Switzerland. And he says you have an absolutely amazing story to tell, and that's why we brought you on. So we're very much looking forward to hearing all about that. Why don't, to kick things off, we get you just to go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and what you do.
My name's Danny. I'm from Quebec, live in Toronto. I've been in the military for 20 years now. I'm a clearance diver with the Navy in CFAME Toronto. That's me.
Perfect. Okay. And so what is a clearance diver?
So basically a clearance diver, we do a variety of things. We mostly dive rebreather, and mostly our job is to find an explosive ordnance on the water and get rid of it and make sure that everything is safe for boat to travels and stuff like that. And we also do a lot of work on ship. We're able to fix ship on change sonar dome, do a lot of job on there, and multiple stuff that are like all helping the Navy towards being safe on the water.
So that sounds super interesting. I can imagine that your job has taken you to many interesting places. Where has your job taken you? And I've got to ask, like, why are you in Toronto? How does a clearance diver work in Toronto?
So in Toronto, where it's called the Experimental Diving Undersea Group. It's a dive unit where we test everything that comes into the military. So any new equipment, any new dive rebreather, anything that's like we have to dive has to be tested prior to us diving it, so that we know it's safe to dive, that you're not just going to wear it and die. So.
Right. That makes sense.
Yes. Okay. Sure does.
So now you're in Toronto testing equipment. What are some of the coolest places that you've been able to work in your job?
Poland was very cool. We did the dive with like a giant ship that put like four anchor in the water, and you dive inside a bell. And when you came up to the surface, you went back inside the bell and did your decompression in the bell, so you didn't have to stay on the water. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. I went to the Netherlands, did some testing on a new rebreather with them a few years ago. That was a very nice trip. That was a lot of fun. I've been to the Arctic. The Arctic was nice. Me and one of my friends were the two first rebreather diver to dive under the ice in the Arctic. So that was a pretty cool thing.
What do you see under the ice in the Arctic?
You see like a lot of water.
No polar bears?
No, there was no treasure. I tried to find treasure, but there was no treasure. No. And like it's mostly just rocks and a whole lot of nothing. There was another dive site at the time. I don't know if you guys heard about HMS Erebus, like the Franklin expedition.
Okay, yeah.
So there was another team that was using diving with the robot at the time so that they can explore the ship and see what was inside and stuff like that. So those guys saw something. Unfortunately for me, I didn't see anything.
Okay. Well, so you wanted to see something and didn't. Wow. That sounds like very interesting work for sure.
Yeah.
But we're here to talk a little bit about running. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your running origin story? How and why did you get into running back in 2016?
So like back then, a few years ago, I was kind of curious to see if I could run fast enough to make it to the running nationals, because somebody sent me an email at the time, I think, like, and with the time, and I was like, oh, maybe I can do this. Like, I ran fast on my clearance dive, of course, so maybe I can run fast on a normal run. So I just started training on my own, took a 5K program on Google, and then went with it and ran the 5K at the Hamilton Around the Bay race to qualify. Mm-hmm. And I think I got like 18:20, which was like only like 10 seconds under the qualifying time back then. And I went to the running national. That was the first time I was really curious to see what I can do and see how it goes. And
so forgive me, nationals in what?
Just the Canadian Forces Nationals.
So okay.
Every year the race in Ottawa that the Canadian Forces does with all the military and everything.
Okay, so don't say just the, you know, from what I think we're about to hear, there's some pretty darn fast runners in the military. So yeah, thanks for clarifying that.
And I just have to stop on the point of you weren't much of a runner before 2016, and then you went and ran a 5K and you ran it in 18 minutes and something?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of training did you do before this? That's a fast time to debut with.
I always liked to run. Like, I was like, as a, like, in my high school, we did like those little like running event all the time. I was always one of the fastest guy at most things, like in sports. Like, I played ball hockey for the military team. I went to the ball hockey military national twice, and I was always known to be fast, but I never trained for it, never tried anything. So that's why I was like, well, people always say I'm fast, maybe I can run fast, so let's try it.
Okay, so 18 minutes on raw talent is what I'm hearing.
Well, okay, so I have a follow-up question on this, because my limited knowledge of certain trades in the military is that there's serious qualifying standards. Like, not everybody gets to be a clearance diver. You have to pass a selection course. Is that correct, Danny?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. We all have to be quite fit on course. Yeah. Like, if you're not very fit on your clearance dive course for a year, you'll just get hurt and you won't pass.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Okay. So this 18 minute 5K, this was back in 2016, but I think it was in the pandemic that you sustained a bit of an injury and then things took a turn. And of course, there were no races to race in the pandemic either. So what sort of happened in the pandemic with your running?
Well, so like I kept running 5K for a few years and kept seldomly training on and off. And then I will start to feel a lot of pain, like in my knees or in my shin and everywhere. And like, because basically back then I always ran hard. Like, I didn't understand how running worked. It was like, I'm going for a run, I'm gonna go as hard as I can every single day.
Classic.
So of course eventually I got hurt, and not knowing that. And then when I was hurt, I was at home. It was the pandemic. I wasn't doing anything. So I would just have a few beer, a few drink in the day. There's nothing to do, not much happening. Mm-hmm. I was gaining quite a bit of weight. I think I was like 185 pounds, which is like, for me, a 5'10" is, it's a bit heavy.
How much heavier than your normal would that be?
Usually I'll sit at like 150, 160.
Okay. Like
something around
there. So your joints
there.
Were feeling that. Your bones were feeling that when you were running.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably, because I think now I'm like 145 pounds. So it's like, okay. It's a big difference. Mm-hmm. And like for me, it was like, during the pandemic, my wife looked at me, she's like, okay, like, you're sitting here, you're drinking, you're not doing anything, you got to do something or this is not going to go well. Mm-hmm. So,
and how were you when she said that? Because that can go one of two ways for people. That can be the kick in the pants that somebody need. You're right. Yes. Let's, you know, turn myself around. And for other people, that can be like, how dare you tell me that, you know, like people can get defensive. Yeah. So how did that particular statement land for you from your wife?
I wish I said she was right every time. That would save me a lot. but most of the time, I'm too stupid for that. but at that time, I did get that she was right, though, because like I had to do something. So I was like, well, I'll start to train for a marathon, see how fun it is, try to do something. And I was kind of dreaming back then that I was going to train for 260K around Iceland. I realized that after running my first marathon out of, like, during the pandemic on my own with somebody following me on the bicycle, that it was not as easy as I thought.
No. No. Carolyn can identify with that. Identify with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But why? So how come you went from all the way up to the marathon? Because it sounds like you'd been doing the 5Ks predominantly before then. Like, did you just want to go all in on something new?
Well, I was just curious again, like with like, because I read a lot about like, oh, you're going to find yourself when you run the marathon, you're going to feel different. There's going to be question with your own self. Like, and I think I've been through all of those, like running, training for it. I think I've cried on some run just because it's like, why is it so painful?
I've been there. Yeah.
It's just the curiosity of like, oh, what can we do here? What can happen? Can I do this?
And did you have a marathon in mind? Did you have an actual race like event in mind when you started this, or you were just had a distance in your head? I guess it was during the pandemic, so there probably weren't too many events to be had at that point.
I guess my only thing I had in mind was that Michael Mueller put out the selection for the season team and said it was going to be a time trial and then that we could send our time via time trial. So just running and kind of running on our own. So I was like, well, I guess I'll do one and send a time and then see how it goes and then go from there. And like the first one, I was doing well on the first one. I was set for like a 250. I had 5K to go. I was like, I'm going to accelerate, see how it goes. And then I cramped and then took like 30 minutes for the last 5K.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Holy. Okay. And at this time, what had you kind of gotten your 5K down to?
I only did another 5K this year. It was my next 5K. I didn't do it for a few years. I did it twice at the National. But the fastest time I got was this year in, I think it was in May, I got 15:45.
That's moving.
That's significantly faster than 18. It's all fast for me. It's all incomprehensible for me. So that's amazing. You also mentioned that you did the first one and cramped in the last 5K. How many time trials did you do before you finally sent your time in to Mike?
So I did one. I did send a time trial. I did 3:05, I think, total on that first marathon. Okay. And I did send that time for the time trial.
Okay.
Then after that, I wanted to see if I can run 50K. And then I started to train for a 50K run on my own. Just, it was the pandemic. There was nothing else to do. Right. So
why not
figure out, do something at least. And then when I was training for the 50K, I like started to realize that 42 was a lot and that like 8 more K was a long time.
Yeah. If you're doing it on the road and expecting to go the same pace that you are for a marathon, it for sure is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I kind of gave up on that one for now.
Oh, you never did the 50K?
No. I did a 42 again once after, but I was only a training run. And then I had my own water. I just went on my own just for, that was nice actually. That was probably like one of my favorite run I did like ever, like on the Toronto waterfront. I wasn't thinking about running any time. I wasn't thinking about anything. I was just thinking about having a nice day running, and that was quite nice actually. And then I did my first marathon in a race. I think I did it in October last year. I don't know if you heard of this marathon. It's called Le Train du Nord.
Yes, we just had the winner of this year's version of that. Petite Train.
Oh, yeah, that was a good
one. Oh, okay. That's the same race. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Petite Train, yeah. Renard. It's so lovely. Yeah. Yes.
It's a beautiful run. Like you probably said last week, like all in the forest the whole time. It was amazing. That was a lot of fun. And I did 2:45 on that one. And that was fun because like I think I only died at 39K where like I was like, okay, well, this is like...
you're getting closer to the end before you die.
Only 3K left to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Two.
Yes. So as you're kind of ramping up the running, how has your relationship with alcohol changed during this time? Did you see a correlation between the two?
Yeah, so I started really like as I got into the long distance, I started to really cut down. Like at first I went to only like a few drinks a week here and there. Sometimes I would still like have a night of drinking and stuff like that. And I really found that would like affect me for like 2 weeks to up to a month. Like
it would,
I would do a run on a Saturday. Let's say I would do a training run and let's say it would be 24K. I would run it, let's say in 1:30, I would go drinking and then it would take me like almost a month to get back to that pace. And then I really started to see the correlation. Then I started to cut that, like where I would only have one or two a week and be like, okay, let's see how this goes. Like, cause I was kind of looking forward to it every Friday, you know, like I'm gonna have a beer today. Like this is my day that I did my long run. And then, but then I started to realize that the next day I never felt too good. And then it was like, sometimes I felt like I was kind of hungover from just having like a couple. And so in November last year, I was like, I want to see how fast I can run. I want to see, like, I was stuck, my half marathon time was stuck at 1:20. I wasn't moving. I wasn't getting faster. It was kind of like, okay, like I'm not losing weight. I wasn't getting, like, I kept having that little fat, like I felt was really stopping me from improving. So I was like, okay, well, let's see what happened if I completely stop drinking. And within like, I think 3 months of it, 4 months of it, I cut my marathon time, my half marathon time by 6 minutes.
Wow.
And you didn't change, it wasn't like any big shifts in your training that could have explained that. It was just dropping out the alcohol.
Literally, like, I did the same training I did before. It was only base training. I wasn't even training for interval or anything. I only was running for the winter running. Like, it wasn't like, and my first race of the year instantly like destroyed my PB. And then from then on, like last year, like 5K, like 15:45, 10K, 33:14. Then my half marathon again improved at the Army run at 1:12:20, I think. And it was just like very quickly, nonstop. So it was like, okay, this is working.
So it's a no-brainer for you. Like, would you ever try to add back in alcohol? Like, you just feel so good now that you're just bought into, like, you've been sober a year, you said.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll stay sober forever, or do you think you'll try to reintroduce alcohol strategically at some point?
I wouldn't say that I would stay sober forever, but as long as I compete with running, I won't touch alcohol. Anything that I have require performance, I think I would never, like, I'm actually, like, it's funny because we say that because, like, I'm actually scared of it almost at that point. Like, it's like, I almost bought chocolate in Switzerland and she was like, there's alcohol in this chocolate. I'm like, no, I don't want it. It's to that point now. I don't think it would be that bad, but, like, it's that point that, yeah, I'm actually, like, scared that, like, it's gonna affect my performance this much, like, because it was drastic.
Well, and it sounds to me you're very in tune with your body, and when you're performing at a level that you are, those small things, you can see correlations, right? And that must be highly motivating.
I wish I kept track of thing that much, but, like, it was really, like, the feeling was like there was something stopping me and I couldn't see what it was. And I was like, okay, let's see if that's it. That was the only thing I could do at that point.
So it was almost like an experiment, like a curiosity experiment. So if you're listening and you've hit some kind of performance plateau, or you just have that nagging feeling like, I know I don't feel my best when I include this in my life, then, you know, go back and re-listen to what you just said, because I think it was pretty profound. So you've gone on to do all kinds of things. And one of the big things we want to talk about today is this race in Switzerland. But I can't get there yet without just talking about yesterday. You competed at the Canadian Cross Country Championships in Ottawa, didn't you? And placed 17th. Is that right?
It was the Ontario Cross Country Championship.
Ontario Cross Country. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It was in Toronto. Yeah, I wish it was Canadian. Canadian is on the 23 this month, I think, 26th.
Okay, and you won't be doing the one for the Canadian one? Or you
will? I don't think so.
Yeah,
unfortunately, I wasn't fast enough.
Okay. Is it snowy there? Were you running in ice and snow, or was it on dirt and mud?
No, it was dirt and mud. It was a nice day.
Oh,
it was
wonderful.
A perfect day.
I love
for
dirt
it.
And mud. Yeah, that's great.
And do you have a preference? Like, you do a lot of running on the road, it sounds like, but do you enjoy cross country? Some people love it and some people hate it.
Honestly, like, it was funny because it was the first time I raced cross country since sixth grade. I did that, like, once in sixth grade, and then because I was looking at the... Again, I was curious to see what it would be. So I did buy cross country shoes and ran in them once on Wednesday. And then,
like, the spikes?
Yeah, the spikes. And then they ran with them on Sunday. And it was quite the experience.
And that was 8K cross country? Was it 2K loops?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Wow. How fun. Okay. So we're recording here today on November 13th, and a couple weeks ago now, on October 29th, you competed for Canada, the Canadian military, at the Swiss City Half Marathon in Lucerne, Switzerland, right? And that served as the first half marathon championships that the military's ever put on. They've put on marathon championships, but never a half. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That was the first half marathon championship.
Okay. So this is with an organization called CISM in the biz. So my husband's military too. They just call it CISM. Everyone's like, CISM, CISM, CISM. Can you, in a nutshell, explain to us what CISM is?
So basically, CISM is like the military in the world, like, can participate to these events. And it's a group of country that all send their best military athlete to this world championship. There's a Olympic for it. There's one coming up in 2025 in Switzerland again. It's basically, in a nutshell, it's like all the military can sign up for it, send their best athlete, and the military athlete compete against each other. And they're really big on saying, like, peace through sport. So it's showing that all these country can play sports against each other or race against each other in new sport and make friends and meet each other and do something.
Rather than fighting each other, do something peaceful. That's awesome. Yeah. So what does CISM stand for?
I think CISM would stand for...
I think it's the French. It's like Conseil International Sportif Militaire or something. But that's my horrible
Council of
French
International Military Sports or Sports of the Military or something like that. Okay. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
But that was probably the best explanation that I've ever heard from somebody about what it is. You're promoting friendship through sport against militaries from around the world. So in this particular event that you were in, do you remember how many other countries you were competing against?
There was a total of 39 countries.
Oh, wow. Okay.
China was there. Peru was there. There was Italy, France, Netherlands, Belgium. There was a lot.
Well, 39 countries, that is a lot. So I know we're talking about running here, but were there other sports represented as well as running?
It was only for running for that event.
It's only for running for this event. Okay.
Okay, so how did you come to be part of this team? Like, what's the process for getting on the team? Do you have to I assume you have to qualify, even if you have to qualify for the nationals, right? I assume that the qualification standards are even more tough for the international team?
So every year, basically, everybody sends their time to the team manager. And usually, depending on how many allocation for each event, he would pick the number of runner that he requires. So in this case, it was four. The top four runner were selected. And usually, he does keep a list of like the top four runner, and there's four reserve runner also, that I've like, in case some runner cannot go. It is the military after all. Like, some people might get deployed. Like, one of our best runner in the forces is on a course right now for his pilot training. So it's like, these things can happen. Not all.
And this is how my husband found himself on the team.
Right? Oh, okay.
Myself too. So
work has to come really? First and then running. You too, Danny? Okay.
My time last year, so the team was picked on the best time last year. So my time last year was not as good as the time this year.
Right.
So this year,
so much.
I did end up like, I would have been the top three this year. But because last year my time was slower, technically I was on the reserve team. I think I was number six last year, and this year I'm number three. But so the team manager will select the team for 2023, will send time until 31 December 2022. So this year, he's taking time until December 31st, 2023 for the team next year.
Well, at least you got called up with better fitness and better time. So there hopefully wasn't any imposter syndrome or worry of not.
Because theoretically, it could also be the other way where you, you know, did really well the previous year and then you've been sitting on the couch for a year and you don't have the same fitness. So it's never a perfect system, I suppose. But this team manager that we're talking about is Mike Mueller, who's a previous guest of the podcast. We had Mike and his wife Christine on the podcast, if you search way back in the archives. So okay, excellent. So what did you, so you got on the team, when did you know that you were on the team?
I knew like a few months ago, like maybe 2 or 3 months ago. It was, but I kind of like, my coach is part of like my coach is also talked to the team manager a lot. So he was hinting at me that my chance was high to be on the team because he knew some people were going to not be able to go. So I kind of knew the whole time. So that helped me a lot because this year I was like, if I'm going to the half marathon championship, I'm not going to run marathon this year. I'm going to focus on the half marathon.
Yeah. So, smart.
And then I was like, no matter what, if I go or not go, it's fine. I'll still enjoy doing the half marathon and build on this for next year.
Right.
So
right.
It worked out perfectly in the end.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you were already doing half marathon training, but I mean, half marathon training cycles don't last forever. So where were you at in your training cycle when you found out you were going? Like, were you in a maintenance phase? Were you in a peaking phase? Like, whereabouts were you in that training cycle when you found out, okay, I have 2 to 3 months? And then what did you do to adjust your training leading up to this event?
So my strategy was that, like, if I went or not, I wouldn't let it change my training. So if I didn't go to the world championship, I had a race in mind that I would race. I would have raced now instead. So no matter what, I wouldn't have my training disrupt. I planned in case of that. So I was like, okay, if I go, then I'll be ready. If I don't go, then I'll just do my thing. And then my time will come for next year. So,
that's really smart. So, you know, planning isn't at all something they teach you in the military.
Do you know where it's going to be next year in 2024?
We don't know yet. It's a cross-country championship next year. So the marathon was supposed to be in Palestine. So that's not happening.
Okay.
So, unfortunately.
Okay. But, so in the SISM world, is it a single event every year? Like it's half marathon this year and then marathon next year and then cross country the next year? They don't ever run these events all in 1 year, or how does that work?
I believe they do switch. I believe usually it's one long distance event 1 year and then the next year is cross country.
Okay.
And then they switch until then they have military Olympic. Then when they have the military Olympic, they have multiple event in there.
Oh.
Like there's even cross country skiing in there, like for like the next one is winter military Olympic. And then when they have summer military Olympic, then they have like track and they have a lot more stuff.
So it's almost like world championships versus Olympics in the civilian world.
Yeah. It's called World Military Games, isn't it?
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. So how do you feel like your training went for this block? You mentioned a coach, so you have a coach. What did you and your coach do to get you fit for October 29th?
So for me, like, I feel really comfortable when I run the distance that I need to do more. So like, I need to run like a lot of volume for me to feel confident and strong. And so I mostly focus on like, we were running, I think between 100 to 120K a week. And I was focused a lot of on like a slow, like I would do slower run 3 times a week and then twice a week interval training. One day was a shorter interval, but a lot of them like one time he had me doing 35 times, 1 minute, I think.
Oh, wow.
That was my legs were dead after that. And then on the Saturday, I would do like a longer interval. So like he had me doing all kind, like one of the workout he had me do would be like 5 minutes in the fark leg zone, then 5 minutes at the marathon pace. And I would switch back and forth for 60 minutes that. That was
a tough one.
Oh, yeah, that was
that'll get you strong, though, and fit for a half marathon. That's for sure.
It worked well. It worked well because like this year he helped me a lot improve my time like throughout the year. It's too bad because I lost like about a month of training before the running national in Ottawa because I got sick and like for 2 weeks I was barely able to move. I didn't have COVID. I had a cold and it just wouldn't go away. And I was sick for like a month almost because of it. Like, so like one month was like just wasted, but I still managed to pull through with it. So I was happy with the overall of everything.
Well, for sure. So I'm sorry, I missed it. Was your coach military or are you allowed to seek civilian coaches for these events?
My coach is military.
Okay.
But I am allowed to pick whichever coach I want.
Okay, that's good.
He'd probably be happy if I name him. My coach is Michael Bergeron. He holds the world record for juggling.
Former guest of the podcast.
I was going to say, I know that name. we'll definitely give him a shout out. But I mean, there's no rules as far as you can seek coaching from wherever you want, but you do happen to have a military coach. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, then talk to us. So like Switzerland obviously is what, a 6 hour time change, 5 or 6 hours for you from Toronto. So the race is on October 29th. How far in advance do you head over to Switzerland and meet up with the team?
So we went ahead of time, 2 days ahead of time. So the event was on 29. We got to Switzerland on the 24th. So that kind of gave us 5 days to try to adjust to the time change.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. An hour a day. That sounds like about right. Yeah.
And you didn't go straight to Lucerne either, did you? Like the race was taking place in Lucerne, but you went, where did you do your little training camp?
We went for 2 days in Zurich. Well, the first day was mostly like push yourself through the day till you go to sleep because you've been flying all night. And then the second day was a bit better. But yeah, that was good.
Awesome. And then again, I'm trying to paint a little picture for people that might not be familiar with these. Because again, I didn't even know much about this because Johnny, my husband's sister, had gone to some of these. But again, when you I saw a lot more footage, and your team did a great job on social media too to give us a bit of an idea of what it was all about. But there's opening ceremonies and everything, right, that you attend. So can you describe about the opening ceremonies a little bit?
Yeah, so it's pretty neat in a way. It's like, so they have you like all waiting in this area where like they know you're gonna go for the open ceremony, so everybody's waiting, mostly taking picture with all the local. Like everybody from Lucerne was walking by, coming over, trying to take a picture with us and everything. So that's kind of pretty cool. We're all wearing our nice fancy uniform. So it was neat experience. And then as they go, like they had kid that was like they look like high school kids, and then they will hold your country name, and then it would basically tell you where to walk, and then everybody would start to follow them, and then we all kind of lined up in this like I wouldn't say it's a pirate square. It was like it was an area where like people meet like in between buildings. I can't,
like a piazza or something, but that's not,
yeah, exactly, it's, something, yeah, okay, like that, a, yeah, plaza.
Yeah, okay. Or square, the town square, the plaza, whatever. Yeah.
And then they all did their speeches. So it was a pretty neat experience because all the countries just standing there, and you have everybody together wearing your uniform, and you're all like representing your country at that time. So it was a good feeling, and to all be standing together. Yeah.
So you had the opening ceremonies. What was the weather like? Like, what were you expecting, and then what did you get?
Well, we were kind of expecting about like 8 to 10 degrees, I think, the whole time. And it was literally perfect. 8 to 10 degrees the whole time, sunny. Like, it was beautiful.
That's perfect running.
Better.
Yeah.
No wind or anything. I was looking the morning of the race, and I was like, this is pretty, you got no excuses. And no, I'm just kidding. Don't do well because the weather was pretty
no fault in 2018.
No. So did you have goals or expectations? Like, what were you hoping to do heading in?
Well, heading in, so like I looked at the map online, and you know, we all look at the race, see the elevation. So I was like, oh, this looks like it's going to be a fast course. So I'm going to try to do my personal best. So I was aiming for 1 hour 10. And I was sorely disappointed when I started to run, and I hit a hill at like 5K, and then another hill at 7K. And then a turn at every 1K.
They
must have been like 30 or 40 90 degrees turn in that race. It was like,
yeah, breaks up your rhythm, eh? And didn't you run through buildings? Like, we were looking at the course map, and it's like, I swear this line is being drawn right through this building. And we're like, no, they won't make you run inside through buildings. But oh, sure enough, didn't you run through multiple buildings?
Like, I think it was 3 or 4 of them.
Like, were they like train stations, or like, what were they? What kind of buildings?
One was a soccer stadium.
Oh, okay.
Which was disappointed though, like, because it's like, if you want to make me run through a soccer stadium, make me go through the middle.
Yes.
Yes. Let me run onto the field. Let me feel like.
They didn't do that?
No, like, you went in and you had to do a 90 degrees turn left. Then you were running to the corner, 90 degrees turn right, and then 90 degrees turn left to come out of the building after. So it was like,
it's an agility workout on top of a marathon.
Yeah. So a few little extra challenges that you weren't expecting with the hills and the buildings. But didn't, like, I know when Johnny came back, he said, that's probably the closest I'm ever going to get to feeling like I'm an elite athlete. So maybe describe, just backing up, the start for us, because didn't you get your own military start separate from the masses?
The start was amazing. Like, you're like, you're sitting there and like, you're looking around and you see everyone, and you know, you see some of the people in the crowd. You're like, I've seen you doing like Olympic time on Instagram. Like, it's like, you're looking at everybody. You're like, wow, these people are fast and they look fast. And then they start to go, and then you just say, yeah, I'm not following you.
Yeah, you see them from behind. yeah. Just to put it in perspective, like, we were looking up some of the winning time for the man was 61 minutes, 1 hour and 1 minute for a half marathon. So that's an elite time. And then the woman was 107.59. So I know for even our top Canadian woman, like, she breaks 70 minutes, it's a big deal. This is 67.59. Like, these are some world-class times. So walk us through your race and especially your finish on that super amazing red carpet.
So the race, like, you kind of started and like you go, and I always kind of have a bad habit of starting a bit too fast. I think it comes from running 5K in the past, or I'm not sure, maybe I just don't learn very quickly. And like, this race, I was like, okay, I want to do kind of this time. And I started going, and I was feeling, okay, I'm breathing quite hard here. So I had to like focus on myself to slow down and really like go to my pace and make sure I was heading to, like, I was going to run at 3:20 and around those area. So I slowed down and kept to my pace, tried to hold on to that the whole time. And the fun part of it is you're running and like you're always with a group of people. So they're literally like all like around you, and you're running with everybody is running at the same pace, and everybody's running together, because it's not like here, like, often you have a lot of competition, but oftentimes we do smaller race and you end up running alone a lot of the time and stuff like that. And, or it's a battle between two or three people. In this case, is everybody's fast. Every single person, man or woman, they're all fast. Like,
and you started the military, men and women all started together, or was it just the men that you started with?
It's men and women together. Like, everybody started together. And honestly, like, the difference is not like the top woman at 107 and the top men at 101. It's not a big difference.
No,
it's not. They're not far from each other. And like, I still remember, like, when I was going, and a group of, I think it was the Bahrain woman passed me, and they were running together, and you see them go and they're moving. And then, like, as I'm thinking, like, I'm focusing on breathing a little bit calmer and everything, and you don't even hear them breathe, and they're just running past you. Like, it was looking effortless. It was awesome to experience that and be with them, and kind of makes you think, like, maybe one day I can do that.
Was it in any way intimidating? Like, did you start to get a little bit anxious, or was it just awesome?
It was mostly just awesome, because really, like, I really stayed focused on, like, giving all I can and kind of like focusing on my race and not thinking about what all these other fast people are doing, or what the other people are doing, and really kept focused on that and living through the experience. And I think at that time, like, there was one time, like, I came down the hill and I was looking to my left, and then you could see, like, there was the water, the lake, and you had the mountain in the background. And it was also a beautiful race. And most of the time, like, we forget to enjoy those moments. And like, because you focus, like, okay, I got to look forward. Like, I did manage to look to the side a few times, and I was like, okay, this is pretty awesome. This is a pretty good event. It was something. And then, like I say, we went through the soccer arena, which was okay. But then we went through this other building with a red carpet, and you had this crowd of people. And for some reason, I don't know why, but like, most of the crowd were always yelling Canada every time they see us.
Oh, really?
like everywhere, like every corner, if there was crowd, like I heard Canada so many times, go Canada, go wow. Canada. Oh. And like, it was the whole race. It was like that. It was like it kept giving you that little boost and that little energy the whole time. And then
that's
this
special.
You run to this building and literally everybody started yelling, go Canada, go Canada. And then you're just going and like, and then, you know, at that point, the race almost over. And then you came down and I believe you were going, you kept after the red carpet. And then after that, we hit a cobble road, which I almost rolled my ankle 3 times. But that's, and then you kept going. And then that's when you went down inside another building and that brought you to the finish line a little bit later. And then you kind of knew that was over. And I think I was like 1K left and like my back was starting to seize up. I was like, okay, there's two things I can do here. I can cry for pain or I can just push through. So I just like focus on that 1K and I just gave it everything you can and finished it. And that was like, that was the experience of it. It was insane. Mm. It was just like...
Mm-hmm. And the crowds at the end, like it was just such good energy. And I saw a video of you finishing and you looked super strong. And you finished in a time of 1:12:50. So were you happy with that? Like, how did you feel about your performance?
I was happy with it because like it was everything I could have got that day. I don't think I could have done a better time or a slower time, or I think like in the end I gave every single effort that I could have given. It was perfect.
You can ask for. Yeah.
Well, how did this compare with anything previous that you had done? Like, was this one of the most special runs you'd had? Or,
well, I put it in comparison like that. Like, so I've been in the military for 20 years at this point. And like, I've done a lot of cool stuff here and there and done a lot of very cool event, but this was like in my time in like doing the running training camp, doing the SISM event and having the team that we had like a great team of people. Like, everybody was awesome on the team, amazing people. It was probably the best experience I've had in my 20 years in the military of everything.
Wow. I've done. Right. Yeah, so maybe talk a little bit about the team, because there were 4 male athletes and 4 female athletes, and then you had some support staff. So who all was there?
So there was 4 male and 4 female. So the 4 male is myself. There was Johnny. There was Matt, Anthony, and the female is Michelle, Ashleen. I'm gonna pronounce her name right because I messed it up so many times. and there was Bailey and Isabel. Everybody are just great people. Like, we all got along amazing, like everywhere. Like, I found like we were traveling to Switzerland, we were doing things, and like, you know, you're being tourists as much as you can. We just all walked together and there was nobody ever being like, no, I don't want to do this. No, everybody was just like, okay, let's go there. Okay, let's go there. Yeah. Right, let's do that. Okay. It was awesome. It was just, everybody is just great on that team. It was, I hope I get to do more events with everybody. That would
for
be awesome.
Sure. Yeah, and then we have already been talking about Mike Mueller, who's the team manager and a former guest of the podcast, and he was there in that capacity, and as well your coach Michael Bergeron, right, the joggler guy. He was there in the coaching capacity, and wasn't there a physio as well?
Yeah,
and then
that's right, there was Rebecca, that was a physio that was with us. She was super nice too, great addition to everybody. Like, even the two Michael and Rebecca, like, they all, same thing, like, they all got along with everybody and did like a
That's
great
amazing.
Job and they had to do a lot of work too from like for them, right? They have to take care of us and make sure everything's good to go. Michael was always like looking for us and making sure we're good to go. The coach, same thing, like always making sure everybody was happy and taking lots of pictures, helping us out with our stuff. And Rebecca treating us, like taking care of our body, like it was just awesome.
You know, it's really something I think to highlight that, you know, the military kind of has this reputation of having a standard of fitness. So I'm really glad to hear that, you know, that is honored and actually highlighted through some of these events. So not only that, but you don't have to give up some of your maybe recreational pursuits just because you're in the military. In fact, you can pursue them just as much as anybody else, if not better, through the resources and the competition that's provided to you by being in the forces. And I think that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, because we're talking about CISM running, but there's CISM soccer and CISM, like also a lot of the different sports.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. So was there a team component? Like, did the eight of you get ranked against, you know, Italy's military? And did you end up with a ranking overall from the 39 militaries?
So there was a ranking for the men and for the women. I cannot remember exactly. I know the men, we finished 22 or 39. I think the women, I can't remember what the women were. I believe they were 27 out of 39, something like that.
Nicely
done. Considering
the
caliber of everything that was there, we did really well. Like everybody as a team, like everybody got, like I think Bailey got a 5 minutes PB over there.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah. 5 minutes on a half marathon time is huge.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, so we talk about opening ceremonies. Wasn't there also the closing ceremonies as well? So what did that involve?
The closing ceremony. So basically, like, it was kind of like a little bit similar, but different in a way. We didn't have people to take picture because we all met into this giant building that was like a meeting hall or somehow. Like we had a big dinner and everything, and then we did the ceremony with the award and all those things. So you saw everybody going up to grab their award. I did think they were going to give them $1,000 box of chocolate, but turns out it was cookie, which was really disappointed. And it was pretty nice. Like the food was great. They even had vegetarian options for people. Like throughout the entire event, like they did quite a good job for the food. Like it was quite good, and they always had vegetarian option for everybody and stuff like that. So it was a very well thought like event altogether.
Well, that's interesting to hear, because from the trail runner side, everything I hear about trail running in Europe is all there is at the aid station tables is cheese and meat.
That makes sense.
And vegetarian struggles. So it's good to know. Hey, all you runners out there, if you want to go run in Europe, run road races with the military, because you will get a multiple course vegetarian meal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
I know in some of these events, there's a lot of like trading like clothing and pins and coins and things between the military members. Was there any of that going on with this event?
There was some other people did it, and there were some people that were very excited about it. That was pretty funny. But like for me, like honestly, I'm Canadian personally. I think that like I want to wear stuff that says Canada on it. I don't see myself wearing a t-shirt that says Sweden on it. I don't see the point personally. So I didn't really trade for anything. I just stayed conservative, and I was in quite a bit of pain at the moment where everybody was trading. So I was just laying down in my bed, not moving, trying to recover.
Do you really want somebody's Poly Pro running shirt? That says Sweden. No, that's a question though I was curious about too, because I know sometimes there's in all events, the Olympics, you know, people trade pins and I know coins is a thing in the military. So that's interesting. So you've accomplished a lot in probably both your military career and your running career. Is there anyone you can think of that particularly has inspired you along the way that you'd like to highlight?
Well, through running, like I always like to look at Kipchoge just because of his mental state. And I read a lot about him. Like you see him run and he's always smiling. It's like, it's like you're running this in this marathon in 1:59 and you're smiling the whole time.
I know. Can you do that? Were you smiling? What were your race photos like from Switzerland?
I was looking a lot of pain on the finish line picture.
Another corner.
I saw the finish line picture and I was like, I didn't feel so bad at the end. And I saw the picture of the finish line. I was like, oh my God. Yeah, I was not doing well.
That won't be one that we post on social when we drop your episode. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
I delete that. I don't want to see it.
Oh my gosh. That's funny. No, I listen to you and I think like 2016 is really when you entered running really with any seriousness. And I'd say probably by the sounds of it, it's only been the last few years that you've taken it really seriously and, you know, gone all in. And whenever, you know, those people that you're looking up to, the hour and one guy or the hour seven woman, you know, like I bet you they have decades of aerobic development under their belt. And I look at a person like you and think, gosh, like you're just going to keep on getting better. Like you're 38 years old, right? But I don't think your age is a limiter because your training age is so young. So it's exciting to think about what's in store for you. So I'm wondering, besides maybe trying to make the SISM team next year in 2024 for cross country, what's coming up for you? What races do you have your sights set on, or do you have, you know, time goals in any of these distances that you want to really go after?
So I've always been like a bit of a dreamer on stuff, but it's mostly a dream, but I hope I can do it. I'd like to be able to make the 2028 Olympic for the marathon. That's kind of like what I'm focusing on right now.
Wow,
like
that's amazing.
I'm going to focus the next 4 years fully on this and fully to try to get my time down to, I don't know what the time's going to be at that point, because right now for the London Olympic, I think it's 2:08 they need to be to make to the Olympic. That's a very difficult time to get.
Yeah. 2:08:10, I think, is the standard this year.
That's a very hard time
to
get.
Which only Cam Levins probably can run at this point for Canada.
Yeah, he did 2:05 in Tokyo. So he's the only person. And so I hope I can work towards making a time like that. I'm thinking to myself, next year, I'm going to focus on running marathons. So I'm hoping to do the Canadian Marathon Championship in Toronto.
Yeah, in your backyard.
Yeah, it's right here. So it'd be great. And I'd like to get my time to 2:24 next year on the marathon. So if I can do 2:24, I think it would give me 3 years to lower my time. So I think that's kind of an achievable goal. So it's all about like, I try to not put a wall in front of me and not set a limit that like, I don't want to be stopping. I want to see where I can get with this. So I'm putting everything I can to try to do that goal. And
well,
I hope
you
I
heard it here first. You know, in few years, we're going to listen to this podcast and go, oh my gosh, he did it. So that's great.
He was on Inspired Souls. This is his very first podcast.
There you go. He threw it out into the universe and that goal happened.
Well, I have a question on that, if you don't mind. Like a lot of people are afraid to dream big. Where does that come from in you? Or is this something that's new for you to sort of put it all out there and go all in on your goals?
No, like I think it's always been something I've done. Like when I like joined the military, I was like, okay, I'll become a clearance diver. So then I had to train, get ready for this, and then do it. Like at first, before I became clearance diver, I used to be scared of water, so I became a ship's diver first to be sure that like I could conquer that. I didn't know how to swim. I had to learn how to swim for my clearance diver course. So I always kind of try to like push to get to the limit and see what is there, how far you can go with something.
So you're someone that likes to lean into your fears, or like maybe back to how we began this, like curiosity, right? Like let's go towards the things that you want more of. That's amazing.
Well, you clearly love running. And if you were scared of water at some point in your career and you decided to proceed forward with that career to become a clearance diver, I just got to think, like, if you're actually doing something you love to do, the sky's the limit. So that's amazing. Yeah, leaning into your fears. You put it well, Carolyn. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think attitude goes a long way. For sure, the physical training program is important and a big part of it. But I think we underestimate how much happens between the ears that we actually have more control over than you think. So Wow. Well, I mean, let's say we wanted to follow along with your running career and your journey towards the 2028 Olympics. Where would we do that?
Well, sometimes I do post on Instagram, or like I try to. I've had this big goal that I was going to get a lot of followers. And then I did once or twice a few posts and I was like, oh, this takes a long time.
I had to run.
So I was like, oh, I like running, but I don't know if I like posting about it that much.
Yes, yes. So, got to hire a social media manager.
Yeah, but I do have it. I think it's at Danny Shall Run is my Instagram name, and okay. You can always follow me on Strava is my full name, okay. Danny Morin on Strava. And I always, if people wants to see more, Strava is probably the best way, because I actually always write a big description on my run to talk about like how I felt, what I did, and what if I had the wrong food that day. It's probably written on there.
Okay.
We will link all of those social media handles up in the show notes. But Danny, this has been wonderful getting to know you. I loved hearing this detailed recap about this particular race, but also just about you. And I think you've got so much potential, lots of untapped potential, and it'll be very exciting to follow along. So thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. That was awesome.